Blog Talk Radio.
My God is awesome. That's just what I need to hear at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday evening. Be reminded that my God is awesome. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alicia Smith Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. What a blessing today is. You know something? I don't want to say I realize, but I'm reminded in this very moment that I love this show. I love the show. I love the time for reflection, the opportunity to talk about things that matter to me and that matter to so many people. What a blessing it is to talk to people that I would not ordinarily have an opportunity to sit down and talk with and to be able to open up and offer that opportunity to you. So I love this show. And each time that I sit here on a Tuesday evening, it reminds me of possibilities for life, my life, and all of us. We need to seek those opportunities. So I love this show, Rev Up with Reverend Alicia. Tonight, we're talking with Curtis Watkins. He's been on the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia radio show before. But, you know, there are some people who come with the same information, and there are those who come with more information, new information, deeper insights on life and the world, and Curtis is one who returns anew each time. So this is his second time, and he's been also called in at other occasions, but he's back with something new and always focused on the benefits to the community. Tonight he's talking about Real Voices USA, Real Voices USA. So you got that? Real Voices. He's reminding us who the real voices are. So stay with us. Call a friend, text a friend, email a friend, and say, listen to this show about real voices. If you're a first-time listener, I want to welcome you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen to a podcast at a different point during the week or at some point on Tuesday, and easily turn your work time, your computer time, or your leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. The Rev Up with Reverend Alicia show is what I call a keeping it real show. That's the kind of minister I am. That's the kind of preacher I am. I'm a keeping it real person. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. So this show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. So I invite you to listen and keep it real, get real. I just realized the connection with the show tonight, you know, Real Voices, keeping it real. I also invite you to follow show on a regular basis. Periodically, I'll be doing Sunday broadcasts or special broadcasts about Bible studies. So please keep that in mind. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God. That's my congregation. We worship at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest. 6401 Chilham Place Northwest at 12:30 on Sundays. It's a good time to, you can sleep in and still get to church on Sundays. Beloved, join us. We are a mission possible church. Ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep you from doing those things that God has assigned to your hands. We help you to come to understand your power. Our Bible study is on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. Not only do we feed the soul, we feed the body. So we have fellowship with food and Bible study on Thursday evenings at 6:30. Call on our prayer line on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. That's tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. and 12 noon. And that number is 605-475-4333. 605-475-4333. And the access code is 213-781. You can always find those numbers on our Facebook page. So I invite you to check out our Facebook page, the Pavilion of God, our Baptist community. You can also, if you wanted to connect with me, tweet me at Revelethia, or follow me on Instagram at Revelethia, or email revalethia@gmail.com. So stay in touch in those, all of those wonderful ways. Did you know that today, June 2nd, is our country's first National Gun Violence Awareness Day? You know, if I had to imagine a day, we have all kinds of days that bring our awareness to different things. I'm very focused, for example, on Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know that I'm a breast cancer overcomer, but I'm also a strong advocate for to become aware of the danger connected with guns. And what a powerful thing this is for me to know that we have National Gun Violence Awareness Day. This is a national campaign organized by Every Town for Gun Safety Action Fund. And today we're asked to wear the color orange. So, folks, you know I'm sitting here with my orange on to honor the victims of gun violence. And I was so thankful to know that there's this action, a national action in our country. I'm thankful right now. I have someone on the line, Lad Everett. And I'm going to ask him to kind of let us know a little bit about this national day. And so, Lad, I'm going to come to you and ask you for taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us this evening. Good evening. This is Reverend Alicia.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Can you tell me the name of your organization? Let my audience know. You are the communications director, right?
That's correct. I'm the director of communications for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, which is one of the oldest gun violence prevention groups in the United States. We date back to 1974 when we were originally founded as a coalition of religious groups under the United Methodist Church.
Wonderful. You know, it's great to have that history and connection to the faith community. We had a brief moment to chat today, and I'm so convinced that faith communities around this country can even do more. So, Lad, I'm asking you to call on me and sign me up for all the places that I can help. But help people know exactly, you know, bring us up to date about how we are, where we are today with our first Orange Day as a symbol and a stand against gun violence. Can you just kind of let us know what's going on?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of thinking within the gun violence prevention movement about, you know, number one, having a day dedicated to recognizing the problem. And then I think also, you know, we've taken lessons from past campaigns. You mentioned breast cancer, and I'm sure you're aware there's been some fabulous branding around that, getting people to show colors or symbols to show their support for the issue. And I think we wanted to do something similar with the gun violence prevention movement. So the leader on this was Every Town for Gun Safety, which is an organization that includes the group Moms Demand for Action for Gun Sense in America. And, you know, they invited a number of other organizations to join this, join them in this campaign. No one, you know, the idea was that no one really would specifically own this under their own organizational brand, that this would be something that we all took part in together. And, you know, with a couple of goals, I guess. Number one, you know, educating people about, you know, this problem and the extent of the, you know, the violence that we're seeing in this country, which, you know, you talked about a minute ago. And then also I think, too, that, you know, we wanted something reoccurring that people would begin to associate with this issue. You know, we looked at past campaigns like, you know, reducing, you know, or tackling cancer, or, you know, although Lance Armstrong has now been discredited, you know, he had such a great campaign with his Live Strong idea.
Yeah.
And all, you know, the gear and the brand and all of that that came with that and what it stood for. So we wanted something similar. We wanted something that would, you know, express what we stand for as a movement, that would most importantly pay tribute to way too many Americans who have suffered from gun violence, and something that would be reoccurring, you know. And I can tell you that I think we're all really happy with the way it went today.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, this is a great start. Tomorrow we will not be wearing orange, but so many of us who have lost loved ones, dear friends, neighbors, I can't really think of many people who don't know someone who has been really seriously affected by gun violence. What can the average person do tomorrow?
Well, I think there's many things you can do. The most important thing is to be on top of your elected officials about this issue. You know, we live in a country where the federal gun laws are unbelievably weak. You know, we still live in a country, for example, where, you know, 40 or so states allow people to sell guns without conducting background checks, without maintaining any record of sale. So there's a lot of work to be done. So I think the number one thing is engage with your elected officials on this issue. And it's not, you know, not just federal there. You know, contact your folks in Congress, but also what's going on in your state legislature is also critically important, and maybe even your local politicians as well. You know, ask them, what are you doing to address this problem? And if you don't get an answer that you're happy with, be persistent. You know, there's a lot, you know, I think we're kind of jaded about our democracy in this era of big money and, you know, hurdles to voting and all this stuff. But it's amazing what an impact a small group of people can have on policy decisions in this area. You know, I can't tell you how many times, for example, that we've been working in the Virginia General Assembly and we hear from someone there that, hey, I'm with you in my heart. I want to vote with you. But I got 200 calls in the past 2 weeks from guys that are pro-gun. 200 calls in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
A very small number of actions can make a huge difference. So I think the key things are, number one, getting familiar with what the gun laws are in your state, and then, number two, beginning to be persistent with your elected officials on this issue, to hold them accountable. What are you doing on this issue? Know their voting records, you know, understand the way they're voting, and then demand more of them, even if they're friends. Even, you know, friends can become champions and become leaders on this issue. So there's always more that someone can do. You know, you and I had talked earlier today, and one of the things that I was recommending for D.C. residents is, you know, I think whether your issue is gun violence prevention or health care or, you know, women's rights or whatever it is, we have, you know, D.C. residents have to fight for full democratic rights. You know, D.C. residents have no vote in Congress whatsoever. You know, my kudos to Eleanor Holmes Norton, who does the best job she can. But, you know, essentially she's a glorified lobbyist, which is very unfortunate. And, you know, as long as D.C. residents are being treated as second-class citizens, you know, they're not going to have a say in federal legislation. They won't have a vote in either chamber. And it's going to be difficult for them to move the ball on this. But, you know, so D.C. residents, I think my recommendations would be, number one, you know, all D.C. residents needs to be fighters for democracy. And then number two, you know, D.C. residents, you have good gun laws in place right now that your elected officials have fought very hard for. They're constantly under attack in our courts and via this Congress. You know, the allies of the National Rifle Association in Congress who want to earn points with them. So, you know, be familiar with what the laws are in D.C., but also be familiar with the challenges because, you know, very often D.C. residents will need to weigh in on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I just want to thank you for calling in tonight because one phone call enabled you me to connect with you today. And I just want to remind people, they've got power. Pick up your phone. You can call and reach out, as you're saying, to your elected officials. There are so many, there are not so many, but there are a number of organizations that you can support, give if you are giving to this organization to stop gun violence. And, you know, that's a major way that we can support. Some of us give money, some of us give time, some of us lend our voices. But Coalition to Stop Gun Violence is an important organization. I encourage you to give there. Give in your energy. Give in your prayer concerns for this organization and other organizations that are committed in this way. I'm going to invite you back, and maybe we can talk about some more advocacy actions that we can take because there are a lot of my listeners who are very concerned and very willing to engage political action. So, Lad, thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me, and, you know, I appreciate your interest in this issue and, you know, you encouraging your listeners to get involved. It's so important.
Super. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
So thankful that Lad was on this evening, that he had a moment to share with us. There are, you know, the information that we need, the people that we need to connect with are often a phone call away. They're a click away on your computer to get the information that you want. Today, it isn't a challenge to dig through the yellow pages and try to come up with a specific name to seek out. We can just put a keyword in and Google what we want. Ending Gun Violence Matters. If you're trying to decide where you stand, remember, you could stand at the wrong end of a gun. It is important that we consider gun safety, gun control laws. Think about the many innocent lives affected by gun violence. So now I want to get to this wonderful topic for this evening, Real Voices. So let's begin at the beginning where all life starts and has its meaning. Let us embrace our Alpha Omega sacred connection to the divine. I invite you to open your heart, open your mind, find your connection as I pray. Loving God, Almighty God, we come embracing you tonight and thanking you for this day that reminds us of the many whose lives have been imperiled, injured, and ended by gun violence. We remember and honor our own Olu Williams, who was taken from us by gun violence. We come not just standing against gun violence, we come embracing your peace that passes all understanding. Not peace for the sake of popularity or profit. Peace for your divine purpose. Peace in alignment with all that is in your will and your magnificent way. Help us, O God. Help us to be prophets of peace in our families, our communities. Enable us to speak truth to those who govern. Lord, thank you for holding us in our commitment. Oh, Lord, we thank you for we are committed to peace this evening. We're committed to peace throughout the whole of our lives. Thank you for holding us to our commitment and holding us in a powerful and loving way in the common and casual places in our lives. Those places where we let our hair down and are reminded that this is the day that the Lord has made and that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, we just thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And right now, we're rejoicing and we're glad in it. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome, 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 beloved, to the Rev Up with Lil and Alicia blog talk radio show. I am thankful that you're here, and we're going to rev up, accelerate, and energize our life as we talk with Curtis Watkins. I invite you to dial in dialing 347-945-7723. Or write on the blog and email, you can email me your comments or questions. So we're going to talk to Curtis Watkins, who is my guest tonight. Curtis is, my goodness, I don't know where to start as I think about how to introduce Curtis. He is a mission-minded man. He is a man among men. He is creative. He is the founder of Real Voices USA. Real Voices is dedicated to providing a platform in which the voices of the average person can be heard. Not just the voices of those who are elected, but the average voices of men and women can be heard. Curtis, I'm just going to say hello to you and ask you to join in and come to know who you are and what you're doing right now. And that is so much. Welcome to the Rev Up with Lil and Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show, Curtis.
Thank you so much for inviting me to the show, Rev. I really appreciate it, and I'm excited. And your caller, your previous caller, the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, is kind of dear to my heart also, because my son was killed due to gun violence. So I'm one of those individuals that believe that we can do more in reference to stopping some of the violence in our community. But as you said earlier, Real Voices is, you know, a platform where we're trying to have the average person who has been voiceless to create a voice for that individual in order for that individual to feel that they value, they respect it, and that they do have solutions that need to be implemented within some of our communities. And this is not a low income, this is not a poverty initiative, this is a people's initiative.
How about that? It's not bound by race, it's not bound by community, it's not bound by section of the country. This is our story, our challenge. You're right. Wow. That is so true. Well, it was a great moment for me to have Ladd on this evening. And you are, you know, Curtis, I actually think one of the businesses you should embrace is giving great ideas to other great people, because you have some of the best ideas of anyone I've ever met and talked with. And real voices is powerful.
I'm a thank you for that acknowledgement, but I'm a be truthful to your listening audience. The truth be told is that I listen extremely well, and I listen to the people. Nah, seriously,
yes.
A lot of this information that I get, I just listen to what people are saying. And for years, as you well know, I've ran nonprofits and did work in the community. And what I realize is that, you know, the solutions lie within our communities, but nobody's trying to hear from the people who are most affected by the problems.
You know, I think that, the kind of humility that you bring to this creative moment, Real Voices, beloved, for those who are listening, I said Real Voices is this initiative, this creative idea that Curtis has to listen to Real Voices, not just in one part, which would be fine, actually, if it were in just one part of the country, but around the country. He journeys in a recreational vehicle to diverse communities across America to listen and to engage and provide a means for action-minded people to create own solutions. You know, this is an idea that has found its time. You know, I guess we would have said that in the 60s or 70s with the Civil Rights Movement. Maybe that would have been great there, too. But certainly there are so many things going on. But there's a different society today, and I think the need is even greater to hear the voices of the people. How did you get started with this? I mean, where do we start? Kind of tell the story about how this came up for you. I mean, I know why it excites me, which is probably some of the same reasons that you have. But kind of let them know, I mean, it's also, Curtis, I'm going to say, many people probably have thought the same kind of thing, but you also went, and I encourage people when they have their ideas to start to find a way to implement them. And that's where many great ideas are. If we go to the graveyard, we can find a lot of great ideas and wonderful books. They're unwritten, not tried.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to have a gentleman in my life who was a board member, and he's my best friend. He invited me down Florida, and we actually took some time out, and he asked me a very pointed question about retirement. And I said, it looks pretty rough. I'm being very transparent. And he said, so what do you want to do? And so we ended up in the conversation. He said, take the next 2 days and start thinking about what you want to do. And I started jotting down things, and I actually prayed about it. And this concept had been in my life for a while because of the work that I was doing in the community. I wanted to hear what the people had to say. And so at one point it was called Real Talk. And then when I started jotting down things, this thing came to fruition called Real Voices in every community across America. And it just blossomed, and I ended up doing a PowerPoint presentation within a day. And I was like, okay, I'm in the zone now. I'm good. And so once I showed it to I'm going to call him co-founder, Kelly Newcomb, what ended up happening is that he took me to a recreation vehicle place and pointed at this vehicle and said, that's yours for as long as you want to utilize it to do Real Voices. And I felt so blessed that, you know, God was making a way for things to happen. And I could never had orchestrated that to happen the way it happened.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's some spiritual principles involved with how that unfolded. One, and if you know, for those who are in communities that embrace growth or change or healing, you know that you can't just sit with the problem by yourself. You've got to share it in some way. Not only do you resolve problems that way, you grow gifts that way. And if you have a gift or an idea that seed of a new possibility, you've got to share it. And as you share it, it's amazing, I would say, what God will do. I don't know how others will explain it, but that is a powerful story to just share it with, in that case, a like-minded person, someone you already feel safe with, a friend. You don't just share an idea with just anybody now, because they're going to tell you there's a lot of naysayers out there. But you did what so many of us need to do. You know, I have an idea, and a friend will say, great, you know, here's, I think it's wonderful. If I can help, they'll share what they have to help. So that's powerful. So then how did it proceed?
Well, this is interesting that you said what you just said. I have to do a shout-out for all the people I shared this vision with and didn't say I was crazy. And they gave me input as it relates to my thoughts, my vision, and what could possibly happen even from their perspective. So I got an opportunity to live out some of the values of Real Voices as it relates to that there are people that can share along your journey of development that will allow things to get even better in what I call creating a better society. So I was very blessed to have that happen organically. And then one more shout out. I want to shout out for Kelly, and these are members of my team. Kelly, Miguel, Vanessa, and the newest member, Blythe. These are individuals who are, I call them my 9 and 10s. See, I'm a 7.5, but they are 9 and 10s. So they make it happen. When I'm short, they come up with the rest of the 3% that need to happen.
Oh, that's power. You know, we could just do a nice little workshop on how to move from 0 to 100 in a short time. And that is that teamwork that is so important. But it's amazing that you say you're 7. Is that what you said? You're
7.5. 7.5.
Okay, go ahead now. 7.5.
I was a C student in a school, and I struggled to be a C student.
Okay. Well,
but when I got in college, I became an A student.
I'm going to tell you, so many of us are intimidated by the A-plus, the brilliant minds that have every answer to everything. There is that place for the 7.5 and those even below that to do this wonderful work of being a powerful part of community. We just cannot isolate. And we have to take the risk of trusting someone with parts of ourselves. And you that's nothing short of brilliant. So I just moved you from 7.5 to 10. Nothing short of brilliant.
Yeah. But I get the opportunity to discuss some of the areas that focus, Real Voices focuses on, which are community, health, education, government, and violence. So one of those five areas, we're trying to have a conversation that moves us not toward pointing the finger toward this is the problem, because we know what the problems are. We can stay mm-hmm. all day with the problem, but the reality is that how do we come from a perspective that we can add value about what we would like to do, what we would like to see happen, and what are we thinking and what are we feeling to create solutions that create this better society that we're talking about?
Okay, Curtis, someone just sent in on the blog. They want you to name those five areas again, please.
Those five areas are community, education, health, government, and violence.
Okay, thank you. Those are powerful areas to even be thinking about. Help me or help the audience, and I'm going to say help me too. How are you defining Real Voices?
I define Real Voices as the voice of the people, as it's a opportunity for, as you said, the everyday people just to have a conversation around a subject matter that means something to them. Like, I just recently did a 4-day journey into Baltimore. And it was due to, obviously, the destruction, but it's also due to the healing that needs to take place. And mm-hmm. I was talking to people around this question. This question was, could something have been done differently in Baltimore? And surprisingly, I was asking people how they think, how they feel about this question, what would they like to do, and what changes they would like to see happen. And the people gave, some wonderful responses, and a lot of them are on our website, which is at www.realvoicesusa.org. Again, that's www.realvoicesusa.org. And the responses that came from the community were solutions. And so I was blessed to be a part of hearing what the average person just wanted to say that nobody was asking them, because there were plenty of politicians and plenty of you know, ministers, no offense against the ministers, but there were plenty of people giving what they thought, but the average person wasn't voicing what they felt was a solution.
You know, and I guess we need to ask why they weren't voicing it too. But I'm going to play, since you were giving the website, I'm going to play, take a short break here and let people hear the information on contact for you and this powerful new process that is unfolding through Real Voices. Take a listen. And I'm trying to get it going here.
Real Voices in every community across America, the voice of the voiceless. Join our action-oriented platform and be part of the solution. For more information, call 1-855-395-1601. That number again is 1-855-395-1601. Visit our website at realvoicesusa.org or look us up on Facebook. We want to hear from you. Real Voices in every community across America.
Yes, yeah, our first PSA, our first official break. What a powerful time to get a message, a powerful message to receive at any time. Real Voices, I'll be giving that number again this evening, but we need to know that we have to lift our voices. Why do you think, Curtis, people... one, don't realize they're not hearing Real Voices all the time. And why are we reluctant to share our real voices? Or are we reluctant? Is that part of the dynamic that has prevented our voices, the real voices, from being heard?
I think in some cases there's been isolation of the individuals who could possibly help us, the everyday person. And that isolation is based on that we've fallen into a mindset that we're looking for that leader. We're looking for that individual that's going to take us to the promised land. And the truth be told is that we all have that ability. We just have to walk in that authority of that ability. And I think that we've, you know, just fallen, okay, we rely on the politicians to make decisions for us. But the crazy thing about it is that we get mad at them when they make the wrong decisions, but we never told them what the right decisions to make. And so Real Voices gives us the opportunity to hold individuals that we put in office accountable as it relates to what are the people saying that they want to have done. One of the things that came out of Baltimore that was extremely big was that advocacy is one of those things that we need to teach the community residents, we need to teach the young people, and it needs to come from a couple of different perspectives. One, the churches have a role to open up their doors in order for this to happen as far as the education of advocacy for individuals within a particular geographic area. Also, the schools need to look at are they educating our kids the value of advocacy as it relates to versus burning down your neighborhood and the businesses within your neighborhood. I mean, what is the contrast between those two actions? And let's talk about that. Let's have some real conversations about that. This came out of the community. And I think that's something that we want to move toward. How do we take this to, let's say, a target group of churches and say, are you willing to not lead this, but collaborate with the residents of the community to figure out how does this look at the end of the day? If this is what they value.
You know, at the Pavilion of God, I often have sermon talk back and where we engage a conversation around the sermon. And our Bible studies are done that way, too. And so my colleague just said to me, what if your people ask a question that you don't have the answer to? And I say, it's a hallelujah moment. I don't have to have the answer. the people of God have the questions and they have the answer. God uses all of us in a multitude of different ways as vehicles for the flow through of God's light and energy and truth. And it's amazing how, and I think you're so right, we have been waiting for just that one person to lead us when we have to learn that we are a community and that we have to be led and supported and guided by those within our communities. The community of the family, or the community of the neighborhood, the community of the church, however you look at it.
So you bring up a good point, Rev. Real Voices wants to look at those conversations and say, we are more alike than we are different, and that if we have, let's say we do 50 interviews, and out of those 50 interviews, 30 people are saying something very similar, people will understand, and Real Voices is going to put that up on their social media platforms and let people understand this is what the response was and this was the results. We've been blessed to have a partnership with the Howard University Center for Urban Progress, who's going to analyze our data. So we approaching it from that perspective to come out with a report based on a question that's asked, so people can understand that they're not alone. There's other people thinking just like you or very similar to you. Would you be interested in creating an action platform that would move toward a solution within your own area? And if that's the case, let's do that, and let's have the conversation, what was the results of that, just as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really want to say this is nothing, I keep saying it's nothing short of brilliant. It isn't anything short of brilliant. It's well above the 7.5. It is this excellence that we seek in our lives. I want to invite the listeners to click on any of the links that I have on Rev Up with Reverend Alicia, the links that take you to the interview. Also go to Curtis's Real Voices website and click on the link. See the interviews. I must admit that I was startled by some of the responses. There's one thing when you see a canned interview, you know, with the talking head that we're all familiar with on a particular talk show, television talk show or whatever, and people give the specific answers that we are expecting. These real people didn't give those expected answers. And if the words sounded the same as we've heard before, their expressions were different. I loved it. I thought you had wonderful people there. Let me just mention a couple of questions, and you can maybe share why they're important. Some of the questions you asked is, can striking up a conversation with your neighbor create a better community? I thought that was a very simple but profound question. And another was, how much time should it take to build a respectful community? And the third that I heard over with some of the interviews you did, can you spare some time to create a healthier society? So those, can you say anything about why those questions and what you've discovered so far from the interviews?
Well, you know, that's interesting because in that interview segment, that was dealing with a revitalized community in Washington, D.C. called Arthur Capers. And that particular community is very diverse now, so it has changed totally from what it exists previously. And so, but the people are wanting to be safe. I mean, that's the key element that resonates between whether you are on this end of the spectrum or you're on another end of the spectrum or you're in the middle of the spectrum. You want to live in a safe neighborhood. And so some of those questions basically came from me listening to the people and saying, okay, does this make sense to you? And they said, yeah, it makes sense to me. I want to know more about how my neighbor thinks about that. and then they expand on it, and it was just an opportunity to have these individuals come together, which they were already coming together, but coming together in a unified way, whereas they were talking one voice. One of those interviews in that particular segment, which was extremely interesting, a gentleman said he was coming out his door one day, and a parent was going off on her kid. And,
right.
he looked at her, and he actually said to her, and she said, you know, what are you looking at? And he said, I'm looking at you cross the line. And she said, you need to mind your business. And he said, I am going to mind my business. He said, if you don't stop crossing the line with your kid, I'm going to call the authorities on you. And the crazy thing about that situation, of course, that parent was mad, but someone in that community cared enough about that kid to check the parent for a minute, to give that kid a break. And the gentleman said in the interview, he said, a week later he saw that kid just was all smiles at him. It was because he knew somebody saved me for a minute from this woman who was getting ready to brutalize me or something. But
yes,
I thought that was a good a neighbor helping a neighbor out situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we talk a lot about the village, but do we vitalize the village in the ways that we ought? And in that moment, he was vital to the village. And that child was related to him in some way. And that's important.
Yeah.
We have to take the risk. And it is that risk. There, you know, the internal emotional risk that we have of stepping beyond some imaginary boundary. And, you know, for many of us, it's, you know, that's not my biological child. It could be economics that's an additional boundary. It could be race that's an additional boundary. 1,000 boundaries come up. But the bottom line is when we connect in that way, it often changes that those two individuals and sometimes the broader community.
Because I'm sure that child
will be very different the next time he sees someone who he would have seen as a stranger.
Absolutely. And I have to do a shout-out for Baltimore just as well, because what I'm experiencing, and I love what I do, believe me, I love what I do. I feel honored and blessed that I've been chosen to do what I do. In Baltimore, when we went there, it was some individuals who embraced us and introduced us to some other people, and they were having a little block party. And this was like two blocks away from where North and Pennsylvania Avenue is. And these individuals embraced us, introduced us to the other people in the neighborhood, and they fed us, they bought us food. And, you know, keep in mind, I'm working out of a recreation vehicle, an RV, so I'm staying there overnight and people knocking on the door saying, I got some food for you. It was just a wonderful embracement of when you talk about the village. It was like the village was on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's funny because often the village is on and we don't see it. And unless we have those vehicles for bringing those real voices out, we forget. We don't honor and extol the healthy aspects of our villages and our communities, and we don't invite them to get stronger and actualize their reality, and again, with real voices and real talk. So I think that's wonderful.
Another thing about Baltimore, and I think your listening audience need to hear this, and it's brought out something. When we had finished one of the interviews with one of the residents, and there was two armored cars coming down the street, and the National Guard had, you know, their automatic weapons and everything. And I made a comment. I said, this looks like a third world country. And the woman said, I feel safe now. And I was hesitant when she said it. And I said, you feel more safe now? She said, no, I feel safe now. And for that woman to share that with me at that moment, it was like a light bulb that went off and said that, you know, in some of our communities, people are not feeling safe, but does it take this type of situation to make individuals, feel safe? And this mm-hmm. presence of this military-type enforcement, is that necessary in order for people to feel safe? So that's an even deeper conversation that I felt that that was brought out through this interview process, but that was off camera that this resident actually said that. But I just thought it was eye-opening for me.
Yeah, you know, and thank God you're listening, and you can share some of those comments, things that go to the heart of the very large problems that we face in our communities, and many people feel will never be conquered. But there are ways of conquering these problems. Well, we can't conquer them by ourselves and in isolation, and silos that we create. Silos of silence. So we want to have those real voices out there. Can you share something about one of the interviews that I heard and loved was that with Mayor Grant of Sea Pleasant, Maryland?
Yeah, we have this segment that we're doing once a month called the RV Talk Time, and it's the Game Changer. We're looking for individuals who basically are game changers, people who are, you know, set themselves aside from situations. And Mayor Grant, which was one of our first interview for the Game Changer, he brought a perspective as it relates to who he is as a person beyond mayor. This individual was basically evicted from his office, his physical office, and told to that you would not be able to house your mayor office inside the City Hall building. And he set up a tent outside of City Hall to service the residents of his community, which is Sea Pleasant, Maryland. And I just thought that was just totally unique. But I didn't interview him around that controversy. I interviewed him around who is he as a person. And Mayor mm-hmm. Grant brought his spiritual side to the forefront, and he also brought the side that said that it's challenging when you're attacked about things and you have to stay true to what your real purpose is. So he gave some, I'm calling words of wisdom and nuggets that allowed individuals to know that, you know, he's subject to the same thing as anybody else, even being the mayor of Sea Pleasant, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And so in the midst of the controversy, he's still a man with a message. And, you know, and I like the fact, it's amazing how traditionally media would have gone through the controversy. And what you interviewed him about was his substance.
Yeah, what makes him who he is, because I think that's, that at the end of the day, even if he doesn't have the title of mayor, who is he as a person?
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. who I want, you know, people to get to know people, because they're, like we're talking about now, there are people who, like the 12-year-old boy we interviewed in Baltimore, that young man has a lot to offer for our solutions to his peers. But, you know, we have to give him the platform to have that voice.
Yeah, and so that hopefully he will be able to seek a platform in his life or recognize the platforms he does have. Because many of us have platforms, we don't acknowledge our platforms. God knows parents have platforms every day, and we don't often recognize the platform we have as parents. There's another concept, and if you have other concepts that you'd like to mention, you talk about force of change. Can you say something about force of change and what you mean by that?
Yeah, well, we believe that everyday people, once they're united and unified, that they can make policy changes within their own spectrum that allows the political individuals to know this is what the people want, this is what the people are going to hold me accountable for, so therefore what are we doing to make this a reality, make it happen? And so we believe with Real Voices is that we're a vehicle to assist people in bringing out that level of conversation, that they can be a force for change. Just as I talked about the advocacy recently that I found out through the Baltimore interviews, that if the advocacy takes place the way the people say it is, it's going to create some policy changes within the education system. And that's how powerful this movement can be as it relates to individuals having a voice to make the necessary shifts in the way we educate our students, and to the point where they actually do something different versus what they have done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so what's your vision for Real Voices, say, over the next six months?
The next phase of Real Voices, after we do post-interviews in Baltimore, is going on this journey of 2016 to the election. We have a feeling that individuals need to be heard just as well, but it's around a question: can voting make a difference? And if so, what do you think? What do you feel? What would you like to do? And what would you like to see happen? And so we feel that we're going to travel to Florida, and I've been traveling south, and I did a little traveling north, but the states that we're going to is Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania just as well. And we want to hear from people around, can voting make a difference?
Now, so I'm sure that someone on the blog said yes. So these people who are excited about the question, who are excited about Real Voices, what can they do? What if they're just passionate and they have something to say themselves right now? What should they do?
Well, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on all the social media platforms, YouTube, and I say chime into the conversation and actually voice what you think is an answer to that particular question. And let's increase the conversation that we're having nationally around that question, can voting make a difference?
And if someone has another question they feel you should address, should they let you know that as well?
Yeah, we're open. I told you, I'm a real good listener. I'm a real good listener. But
yes,
I also want people to know that we don't take sides. We're unbiased as it relates to what we do when we come out in the community and we want to hear what the community has to say. We want to move toward solutions, and solutions require us to think critically. And when I ask those questions, what do you think? What do you feel? What would you like to see happen? What would you like to do? That puts the onus on yourself as a change agent. You can be a change agent within your own area just being solution-minded.
Mm-hmm. And you're also a person who believes that you have a voice, that the youth of our communities and our country have a voice.
Absolutely. And Baltimore, a perfect example. In some ways, it's a negative way, but Baltimore, a perfect example. The nation paid attention to those youth when they did what they did.
They paid attention.
We just need to, you know, put that in the right direction. It can be even more powerful.
Well, I invite everyone to listen to the interviews that are on the Real Voices website. And it's a great honor to interview the interviewer who is asking the questions, getting to the heart of the problems, getting people to come up with, well, not getting them to come up, inviting them to share the solutions and the insights that they have that will lead to solutions. Because sometimes people have this commitment to a value, and when they're able to state that, we can determine solutions. So I'm going to play this PSA for one more time, Curtis, and then I want you to offer some concluding words.
Okay, thank you.
And I am trying to get this computer to help me play it, because I can't play it by myself.
Real
okay,
Voices in every community across America, the voice of the voiceless. Join our action-oriented platform and be part of the solution. For more information, call 1-855-395-1601. That number again is 1-855-395-1601. Visit our website at realvoicesusa.org or look us up on Facebook. We want to hear from you. Real Voices in every community across America.
Yes, Real Voices across America. Okay, offer some concluding thoughts, Curtis, and then I'll share. And thank you for being on the show. But what else do you have to say? Any final words?
Well, thank you for inviting me to share this journey of we're looking at diverse communities across America, and our job is just to listen, to engage, and provide a means for action-minded, oriented people to create their own solutions. So Real Voices is out here trying to make a difference, but we don't make a difference by ourselves. We make differences with each other. And so the people voices need to be felt, need to be heard, and we're about the business of putting this out there so everyone can hear and learn from each other. And I have a shameless plug that we're also looking for interns to help us build our capacity of interviewing. So if there's any summer and fall college students, university students out there who are majoring in communication, journalism, business, poli science, sociology, you name it, we want you to join our team and be a part of Real Voices, and we'll train you, we'll teach you how to interview, and we would love for you to join our forces so we can make a difference in this nation.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again. I encourage everyone to really hear what Curtis is saying. This is an opportunity not only for our college students, it's an opportunity for all of us. And I'm excited. I'm excited about Real Voices. I'm excited about the possibilities that are being lifted for us tonight. Curtis Watkins is creative, he's empowering, and he honors real people. Real Voices invites all of us to value ourselves. Just think about it, an invitation to value ourselves. We don't think we need that invitation, but beloved, we do. To value ourselves, an invitation to value our thoughts, our experiences, our expertise, our priorities, intellect, insight, our whole lives, to value our whole lives. It's amazing how the average Joe or the average Jane, the average Kwame or the average Cassandra ignore their power or don't recognize their power. You see, we all hear voices in our heads. We all hear voices surrounding us. But we don't always ask how real those voices are. Every day we hear the media version of our thoughts, the media version of our experiences. But unfortunately, the media doesn't include or at times excludes average voices. The media version of average is a version that appeals to the marketplace. It's the version that appeals to Wall Street. I'm not condemning the Wall Street reality, but I am inviting an awakening to new voices around us and the new voices within us. We all hear voices, but how real are the voices that we are hearing and listening to? Beloved, I thank you for being with Rev Up with Reverend Alethea. Join me next week, Tuesday at 7 p.m., for an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life.